All right. Next up, we're going to have Luca talking to us about reproducible XFS file systems.
Hi, everyone. I'm Luca. Today, we will talk about reproducible file system with XFS. A little thing about me. I'm a software engineer in ChainGuard. I'm an open source enthusiast. You can find me everywhere with 89, Luca89. That's my mail. Why are we interested in reproducible file systems? We build stuff, and we want that stuff to be verifiable by the end user. The end user has access to the source code, so they should be able to reproduce our own artifacts and be sure that we are not messing stuff up. So it's also useful for us, for debugging, for auditability, and so on. So it's very important. And working in ChainGuard with for our product of VMs, we wanted to be trustful for our users and have reproducible images for them. How do we usually approach populating a file system? You MKFS that file system. You mount it. You copy stuff inside. And you unmount it, but this is actually very, very much not reproducible. We have some caveats. We need root privileges to do mounts, and we need a kernel for that, which is not. It's very important. Timestamps obviously vary. You write at different times. You have different timestamps, and we have different random seeds that lead to different inode generation, and so many moving parts. My first attempt was using libeffectime. If someone doesn't know what it is, it's a library where you basically use an LD preload attack, let's say, and it will hijack most of the random functions like get time of day, get random, get from on 32, and stuff like that. So if we try to use libeffectime and create an empty XFS file system, this actually works. We have an empty file system which is reproducible, but in the moment that we mount it to populate it, this will break reproducibility, even if we use Noah time, no data time, all this stuff. There are many reasons for that. First of all, LD preload is on your user space, and mount is kernel space, so that won't work, simply. Also, there is the creation time is set by the kernel, not by the libc, so you cannot intercept that. Also, XFS is a very complex file system. It has allocation groups, which has some heuristic of to spread the load. Parallel and async I/O, which is non-deterministic because it's not, and that non-deterministic order of allocation changes the B plus 3 shape, so that's also not reproducible. So I went out and checked on reproducibleBits.org. There is a system images section that shows you how some file systems can actually be reproducible, like all the XTE family, SquashFS, EROFS, and the ISOs. The common part is that you don't mount it to populate it. You populate it while you do it. So let's do it. The plan was first, let's work on the hardest part, which is populating the directory while we do MKFS. Then we can do the deterministic part, so block the, fix the time and fix the other random points, and then add test, because we always have to add test. First step was populating. I went out and searched, and actually XFS has a way to already had a way to populate a file system, which is called protofile. It's a very, very old specification, which basically is like a text file that represents the file system in a text manner. And as you can see, you have a reference to the original file that we want to copy only for regular files. All the other files, like symlinks, char devices, I don't know, block devices and stuff like that, are actually created and they do not refer to the original file. So we have limited extended attribute supports because we lose them for directories, for symlinks and stuff like that. We don't have actually control on timestamps because we could copy the timestamps only for regular files. All the other files are set to current time, which we can control, but we lose the information from the original source. And at the beginning, I proposed to change this, but this was rejected because it's a very old and, let's say, stable, you know, specification. So we decided, they decided, no, don't touch it. So they suggested me that we should actually create a populate from directory functionality. And I tried. So basically what it does is reuse the protofile infrastructure that was already there and just branch out in the case that we are pointing to a directory to populate from instead of file to populate from. So it will recursively traverse all the directory in that source directory, and then if it's a directory recurs, it's a file. If it's a file, it will create it, copying from the source timestamps, which are the modification time is what we usually care about. Access time usually is just noise, so by default it's not copied and set to current time. Creation time is set always to current time. We will control current time afterwards. Usually in the reproducible builds world, access time is stripped anyway, so by default it's not preserved. Other than timestamps, we need attributes. One caveat was that when we, for regular files, this was pretty easy. There were already lots of functions pre-made to do that. For symlinks, sockets, and FIFOs, you cannot actually use the regular fgetx attributes because we will not open them regularly. We use them with opath and with nofollow, so we don't have loops. So we have to handle the bad file descriptor error in fallback to lgetx attributes and so on, because symlinks and have extended attributes that are important too, and if we just skip them, we might not have a functional file system actually. The other part was tracking hard links from the source directory in the destination file system. The implementation is, I did concentrate more on correctness than performance, so it's it's linear array. It's a static global array, and then we just registered all the various hard links and referred to that with some logic for the growth of the array. Actually, I didn't find it a problem performance-wise because we are so MKFS is I/O bounded and it's sequential, no parallelism. And I tested it on my Flatpak folder, which is full of hard links, and it behaved good enough. Anyway, this is maybe for the future we can improve on that and do with an HashMap or something like that. We have populating the file system. Now we have to add determinism to it. So we can try with again with libfake time, and this actually works. But we want to get away from libfake time, because first of all, we LD preload type of things is not ideal. It doesn't always work. Static linking is a thing. This doesn't follow the reproducible build standards for source data epoch. So, and basically, we'll depend on external toolings instead of just doing MKFS, right? So, we went. I went away ahead and implement the source data epoch thing. So we get current fix time. So if source data epoch is specified, it's a valid number because it's a Unix timestamp actually, so seconds from 1970s. Instead of get time of day, we just return the fixed value. This is used for creation time, change time for inodes. And the other part is having the get random part. I was suggested to do a very simple thing about just is it deterministic mode and return a fixed value instead of just passing the value that you want to be returned, because anyway, get random in at MKFS time, it's only used for the inode generation number that and at MKFS time, you don't reuse inodes, so it's not a problem if every inode has the same generation number. So this doesn't break stuff. And then we added testing. So in the XFS tests, I added a test where we create a file system three times in a row, and they should always have the same hash. Very simple test. The source directory is generated with fs stress, so it has all type of files, links, and so on. So it should be quite representative. We can see it in action. So we can have a very basic XFS file system that is populated from a rootfs directory. We can preserve access time with a time equals one. Maybe it can be useful for someone. We can have an actually reproducible file system, an empty file system, without using libfake time, but using the environment variables for source data epoch and deterministic seed. So this works. Be mindful, we still need to fix the UUID of the file system because it's random else. But yeah, that works. And we can do a little test with make OSI to create a rootfs for Debian and create multiple images for it. So this is a script that basically just uses MK OSI to create our rootfs, create an image file, and then MKFS it to populate it. So if we build it the first time, this will go and create the rootfs, which is the slow part actually. Then after this, it will automatically, you will see the familiar output of MKFS, which this one, and it automatically also populated the file system. You can see the rootfs. We save it in another name and delete the rootfs and regenerate it again. This will rebuild the rootfs directory, which is reproducible because MK OSI supports reproducible builds. After that, it will create a new image file and a new MKFS comment, as you can see. If we file the images, they are both valid XFS file system, and both of them have the same hash. Yay. This is very useful for us. We use it to build our images. so we know when an image actually changed or not before maybe shipping them to clouds and stuff like that, because many other steps are not reproducible, like converting a raw disk to, I don't know, VHD, VMDK for various file formats, cloud formats. So we know if we have to fire up our CI or not from this, for example. So it's important for distributions. Maybe also for embedded system, this can be integrated with Yocto, BuildRoot. It integrated with MKOS OSI, as you see, as you saw. It's important for security, for Salsa, for compliance. You need reproducible builds, and for testing. These are the links to the patches. The first two are the MKFS patches, the test patches, and then the documentation on reproducibleBuilds.org. Thank you.
My question would be, do you keep some artifacts of what was the environment you used to generate the image? Because if you want to...
Sorry?
Do you keep metadata or artifacts that traces the software you used on the version you used to obtain a particular file system?
You, for the MKOSI part,
yes.
You mean? So this one is just for the demo. In ChainGuard, we use APCO to build our RootFS images, which is also the tool that we build for our container images. And that one is also fully reproducible, and we have all the historic part of how it was composed. It's rendered, we call it, it's rendered, so it's fixed the packages versions, and it's pinned to snapshots of the repositories.
All right.
Listen,
thanks a lot. Well, we're going to set the out of time, sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.